Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
Mizmor le David Adonai ro'i lo echsar binodesh she'yar bitzeni.
That's Rabbi Lauren Holzblatt presiding over a small service for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg today, just before her body was placed in repose at the United States Supreme Court. Her death has sparked an outpouring of emotion and respect for her legacy, and also a fierce standoff over who will appoint her successor. Here's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking yesterday on the Senate floor.
Ruth Ginsburg was a woman who never let any man silence her. The most fitting tribute to her is to refuse to be silenced and to name exactly what Donald Trump and Senate Republicans are trying to do: steal another Supreme Court seat.
Here to discuss this political fight and how it's playing out here in Massachusetts is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana.
So, Anthony, our senators have been active on this subject in the last few days. We heard Elizabeth Warren just there. What has Senator Ed Markey been saying?
Well, much of the same kinds of things. I mean, he says that Senate Leader Mitch McConnell should follow the precedent that he set back in 2016 when he wouldn't consider Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland. McConnell said that let the election take place first because we were so close to election. So on Sunday, Markey said that's what McConnell should do now. And he told progressive organizers and activists that blocking Trump's ability to add another conservative to the court is pretty important. Here's a bit of what he said.
Think about it. This Supreme Court justice might, in fact, vote on whether or not Donald Trump gets seated, perhaps in a 5-4 vote, as fraudulent activity is engaged in.
And Tiziana, that's not a fantasy, because recall that back in 2000, a 5-4 Supreme Court decision ended the contested presidential election in favor of George W. Bush. And Markey went further, tweeting that if Democrats regain power, they should abolish the filibuster and expand the Supreme Court.
Okay, so those are strong statements. Those are strong claims. What does it mean for him to suggest that, and how are other Democrats reacting to it?
Well, it's interesting. Elizabeth Warren, by the way, has also said packing the court is an idea worth considering. Outgoing Congressman Joe Kennedy said if McConnell holds a vote in 2020, we pack the court in 2021. It's that simple. So what it means is this. It means passing a law that would expand the number of Supreme Court justices. The Constitution doesn't say anything about how many justices have to be on the court, so all it takes is a law. And if Democrats win the White House and the Senate, they could do that. But not everybody thinks it's a good idea. Joe Biden hasn't embraced it, and the Washington Post reported recently that a member of his team didn't like that Markey was pushing the idea. And the concern there is that it might push too far and mess with tradition. And Biden, being a senator of many decades, is a traditionalist. And by the way, we know that Ruth Bader Ginsburg thought packing the court was a bad idea because she thought it would further politicize the court.
So much of this is about what the Republicans are going to do, Anthony. What are Republican reactions here in the Commonwealth?
Well, interesting. So here in Massachusetts, Republican Attorney Kevin O'Connor, who's challenging Senator Ed Markey in November, is pretty blunt about what the U.S. Senate should do following the death of Justice Ginsburg. He says they should do their job, which he says means as soon as President Trump nominates a successor, the Senate should hold hearings and vote.
I don't think it's a good idea ever to have an even number of Supreme Court justices. We have a vacancy. There's ample time to conduct an appropriate hearing and to make a decision.
So it's important to note here, though, Tiziana, that O'Connor, of course, wasn't in office in 2016 when the Republican-led Senate refused to consider Barack Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland. But O'Connor said he probably would have said the same thing. Now, another prominent Republican in Massachusetts, Governor Baker, is siding with most Democrats on this. He tweeted that the Senate should allow Americans to cast their ballots for president before a new justice is nominated or confirmed. He said the Supreme Court is too important to rush and must be removed from partisan political infighting. That's his hope, but it doesn't. But that appears very unlikely to happen.
And, you know, it's interesting, Anthony, New England Republicans actually are kind of looming large in this battle. Let's start with Maine Senator Susan Collins. She put out a statement saying she opposes taking up the president's nominee to replace Justice Ginsburg, but it didn't say whether she'd vote if the Senate does it. What is her reasoning behind her statement?
Well, I mean, I think the reasoning is explained by, to the extent there is reasoning, it's the fact that she's in the fight of her political life against Sarah Gideon. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with her thinking. I mean, one of the reasons Collins is in such a is in such political trouble with moderates in Maine was because she voted in favor of Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's last Supreme Court pick. So this is a bit of a do-over for her, right? I mean, she seems to be trying to have it both ways, though. She says the Senate can go ahead and start vetting a candidate, but there shouldn't be a vote until after the election. So she seems to be having it, trying to have it both ways here.
So, and then, of course, we have former Massachusetts governor and current Utah Senator Mitt Romney. A lot of people, it seems, were watching him to see what he was going to do. He says he supports President Trump moving forward with a nomination, which I think assures there are enough votes in the Senate, essentially. So I want to know, did that surprise you, especially since Romney has been one of the senators, for example, during impeachment when he actually voted against voted to impeach the president, voted against the rest of the Republicans in the Senate?
Right, right. He voted to impeach the president. Yeah, it didn't surprise me. I mean, at the end of the day, Romney is a conservative, and this is a key opportunity for conservative Republicans to push the court to the right. So I'm not really that surprised. I mean, impeachment was different because we were talking about high crimes and misdemeanors of a sitting president. And don't forget that back in 2016, Romney was pretty blunt about what he thought of Donald Trump as a candidate, calling him a phony and a huckster. So, you know, Romney has some principles, but they're conservative principles, and a conservative Supreme Court seems to fit right in line with those principles.
Anthony, voting has already started, at least in some states, so the election's actually happening. Nationally, you know, based on your watching, what side do you think, I know this is a crass question, especially in this moment, but what side do you think benefits politically the most from this fight?
Well, it may be a crass question, but it is a question we all want the answer to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a really interesting piece in the New York Times yesterday about how in the hours after Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, Democratic contributions poured in by tens of millions of dollars into Democratic Senate races. At least 13 Democratic candidates or senators raised more than $1.3 million each since Friday from a single fundraising effort. So that suggests that at least initially this is galvanizing Democrats. I mean, consider as well that Democrats can now run on the idea that a more conservative court will very likely overturn Roe versus Wade and the Affordable Care Act, denying health care to tens of millions of Americans. And that issue, health care, worked pretty well for the Democrats in 2018 and could help them again in November. On the other hand, you know, this debate could help Donald Trump appeal to his base and help him change the subject from the pandemic, which most Americans think he has handled pretty terribly. So, you know, I hate to conclude with a cliche, but it remains to be seen. But at least initially, we know it's galvanizing lots of folks on the left. It could do the same to folks on the right.
And Anthony, last question. Do you see any path towards a less politicized Supreme Court in the next decade?
It's such a good question. And, you know, it's a question for a whole hour. I mean, it seems like expanding the court makes sense in many ways. But, you know, I would defer to people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who said that's just another way of politicizing. And if Democrats do it a year from now or 2 years from now, then Republicans can do it again. So I honestly don't know the question. I mean, going back to the 2000 election, when we saw a pretty politicized Supreme Court make what a lot of people regard as a terrible decision in Bush v. Gore, I don't know how we get out of this. I really don't. The court isn't what it was, and polls suggest that that's what Americans think now. It's no longer that bedrock institution that everybody has respect for as kind of a nonpartisan arbiter of the law.
Wow. On that note, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, hey, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Tiziana.